All right, now if you'd please turn with me to Judges chapter 4. Read Judges chapter 4 and then a little bit into chapter 5. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at the time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, 'Go and gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand.' Barak said to her, 'If you will go with me, I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go.' So she said, 'I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you were going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will send Sisera into the hand of a woman.' Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh, and Barak called up Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and 10,000 men went up at his heels, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite had separated from the Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, and had pitched his tent as far away as the oak of Zenaim, which is near Kadesh. When Sisera was told that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone to Mount Tabor, Sisera called out all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the men who were with him, from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. And Deborah said to Barak, 'Up, for this is the day which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you?' So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and his army before Barak by the edge of the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot. And Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Harosheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. But Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael came out to meet Sisera and said to him, 'Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, do not be afraid.' So he turned aside to her into a tent, and she covered him with a rug. And he said to her, 'Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty.' So she opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, 'Stand at the opening of the tent, and if any man comes and asks you, 'Is anyone here?' say no.' But Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg, and she took a hammer in her hand. Then she went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple until it went down into the ground while he was lying fast asleep from weariness. So he died. And behold, Barak was pursuing Sisera. Jael went out to meet him and said to him, 'Come, I will show you the man whom you are seeking.' So they went into her tent, and there lay Sisera dead with the tent peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel. And the hand of the people of Israel pressed harder and harder against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. Then sang Deborah and Barak the song of Abinoam on that day, that the leaders took the lead in Israel, and the people offered themselves willingly. Bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, to the Lord I will sing. I will make melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. O Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the region of Edom, the earth trembled, the heavens dropped, yes, clouds dropped water. Mountains quaked before the Lord, even Sinai before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned. The travelers kept to the byways. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. When new gods were chosen, when war was in the gates, with shield or spear to be seen among 40,000 in Israel, my heart goes out to the commanders of Israel, who offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless the Lord. Tell of it, you who ride on white donkeys, you who sit on rich carpets, you who walk in the way, to the sound of musicians at the watering places. There they repeat the righteous triumphs of the Lord, the righteous triumphs of his villagers in Israel. Amen. This is a story you're probably familiar with, but may not be. It's one of the most frequently told stories. There was a Christian humor magazine back quite a few years ago now. I remember one day on the one issue of it on the back page, they had an ad for a new generation of Precious Moments figurines, and they had one of Jael sitting over Sisera with a tent peg and a hammer. And you know, I never saw that at Family Christian Stores. But so it's a story that, because of the violence of it, is sometimes neglected, but also because of some of the ambiguity of it throughout it. That's why I say it's a confusing tale. You might say, well, there's nothing confusing about it, but isn't there? When we come, Deborah is introduced as a judge, and nothing really more is said about that. Deborah was judging Israel. Now, in the church, there tends to be sort of a division. There are those who say, well, you know, we're all about male leadership. What was Deborah doing in that? And why isn't it said that, you know, in the time of this particular need, God made a special exception and went out of his way just to raise up this particular woman for this particular time in this particular place, and that particular, you know, there's some that would like to see that, and it isn't there. Others would like to see, well, of course God raised up a woman. It's needed a woman. Obviously, Barak is not really a man's man. He's afraid of going into battle, and he needed the support of a strong woman. And so God rose up a strong woman. And why doesn't it talk about that? It doesn't say that either. Just the mentions, and Deborah was judging Israel. The Holy Spirit is this master of understatement, isn't he? Gives us the scripture and leaves us with all these questions. You know, we have inquiring minds. We want to know more. You know, we want to know what about that? What is up with that? And the Spirit just says, and Deborah was judging Israel. Deal with it. So we're left to deal with it. But Deborah was judging Israel. She's the judge, sitting under the palm tree of Deborah, and people are bringing their particularly difficult cases to her. In other words, there were elders in the land, and when someone had a dispute with their neighbor or a dispute in the family or whatever, you would go to the elder and he would work that out. But there were cases that were difficult, complex, or couldn't be settled easily, and so they would take them to some wise person, someone gifted by God, someone endowed by God with a special wisdom and a special authority. And at this time, it was Deborah. So people were bringing their cases before him. So mostly the ordinary course of events was that people came to Deborah. But on this particular occasion where we jump into the story, she called someone to come. She didn't wait for them to show up, but called for them to come, Barak. And he comes, and she said, God has given me a message for you. He wants you to gather 10,000 soldiers and lead the army against Sisera, the general that's been oppressing the people of God. The book of Judges is incredible. It's just 20 years they put up with this, and then they call out to the Lord for deliverance. You know, it's amazing how thick the people could be. There's a recent song out, and I'm still not quite sure what I think about it. You may have heard it. It's called "I'm Good with God," and Brandi Carlile is the voice of God. And in part of the song, she says, "You're pretty thick, so I'll tell you twice." And I think that part resonates with me, because I know in dealing with the things of God, I'm often pretty thick, and I need to be told twice. But how thick were the people of God that they put up with oppression for 20 years before they called out to God? 20 years, they call out. And then God says, "Deborah, call Barak, tell him to get 1,000 men, and I will deliver the people." So Deborah tells Barak, but for some reason he's not having it. And he says, I'm not going unless you go with me. Apparently, we could put the best possible face on it, which many don't, but perhaps he wanted to stay in touch with God, and she was the prophetess, as well as the judge. You know, if I'm going to go do something this absolutely terrifying, if I'm going to step out with this kind of faith, I want access to the Word of God, and so I need you along with me. Perhaps that's it. I don't know exactly why he wanted her along, but he wanted her along. And she says, "By the way, glory is not going to go to you." And now many see this as a mark of disgrace, because Barak balked at the idea of leading God's people into battle when God has already assured him that I will give them into your hand, that it's a mark of God then taking the glory from Barak and saying, "I will give that glory to a woman." But it doesn't read that way to me at all. I think you have Barak, who's very apparently, to me, it seems frightened, put off. You want me to lead the people against? You know, he's got iron chariots. This is pretty much the tanks of the day. You know, we've got basically rusty swords. You know, maybe a slingshot or two, and they've got tanks. You know, and you want me to lead the people of God against that? You know, you need to come along with me. And she says, and the glory is going to go to a woman. It kind of, as I see it, isn't disgrace for Barak, but kind of taking the pressure off of Barak. He's saying the task is too big. And she's saying, no, you're misunderstanding. God's got a place for you, and it's not even center place in all of this. He takes center place, and he's going to work this all out. And he's going to work it out in a way that you really don't see coming. And he didn't see it coming. So he leads the people out, and the tanks come in. And they're heavy. They say these heavy metal chariots are coming. And then in the Song of Deborah, we get a clue as to what happened. It says rain came from God. Now, someone just asked me this morning about being out on the bicycles. And I said, we've been mostly going down toward Pittsburgh because there's a lot of paved trail. And this time of year, because of the weather we've been having, sometimes the crushed limestone trails are a little spongy, and it makes it much harder to ride a bike on. So those of you who go know what I'm talking about. Those of you who don't can imagine. So imagine you're going down by the river on a rainy day in an iron chariot. And you see how the army was defeated. It said, God will give them into your hands. The song says he brought rain upon, so you are up to your axle, and suddenly your tank is not much use. They're just trying to get themselves out of the mud. That's why it says Sisera gets out of his tank and runs away, because it's not going anywhere. And so they're stuck. Some of them got away, and the people pursued them, but a lot of them are stuck there in the mud. So it's a rout for the army of Israel. It's a victory for the God of Israel. And Sisera gets away, and then till Jael, you know, nails him in her tent. With that, the part I mentioned, that, you know, again, it's frustrating when I say it's a confusing tale. There's a lot of people that would like some moral clarity there. They say, her family was at peace with them. Was this not wrong that she did him in this way? Was it not wrong that she lulled him to sleep and gave him milk and covered him up really nicely and then kills him? Wasn't that wrong? You know, and our souls sort of cry out for a clear message from God, yes, this is wrong. And it just says she did it. And in fact, the Song of Deborah celebrates it. Blessed is her. She was faithful. And we don't quite know what to do with that, except I think it should remind us that we don't always quite know what to do with our God. Right? He does things we don't expect. He acts in ways that we don't anticipate. It always takes me back, and I know I say it too often, and I'll try to find something else to say at some point if the Lord gives me more years of ministry. But where C.S. Lewis talks about, you know, Aslan, and they say, is he a tame lion? And the answer is no. He is not a tame lion, but he's good. You know, we tend to want a nice, tame, domesticated God, and that's not what we get. We get the wild God of the Bible, and he is a wild God. And he's beyond our expectations. And it didn't stop. Some people think, well, yeah, but, you know, he calmed down a lot in the New Testament. You know? And may I remind you once again that the disciples, those men who were closest to Jesus for 3 years, still never knew what he was going to do? You know, read the Gospels again. I just love how they're always, now we're going up to Jerusalem, right, Jesus? Nope, we're going here. Well, Jesus, now you're going to go do, nope, here's what we're doing. Well, Jesus, now we're going, nope, here's what we're doing. You know, and then Jesus says, now we're going up to Jerusalem. And they're all like, no, you know, wrong time, that, absolutely not. And he's like, yeah, this is the time. They never knew what he was going to do. He always did the unexpected, the unanticipated. The Pharisees were particularly offended by that, but his own disciples were constantly confused by that. I serve a wild God. This God used powerful women, Deborah and Jael, and praises their work here in Israel and makes no great matter about it. I think that's why I came to this passage today. There are two reasons. One, because of that very principle, and the other because I love the way that Deborah identifies herself as a mother in Israel. We're given the name of her husband, but we're not told if she had any children. And some think when she says, and I arose, a mother in Israel, that she was a mother maybe of many children, and she arose to lead the people of God. I don't think that's what she's talking about at all. I think that phrase means when she says, and I arose, a mother in Israel, that she was the spiritual leader of this community. She was a mother in the sense of she was the person that they were looking to for the Word of God, the person they were looking to interpret the Word of God to them, to judge the hard cases, to deliver the Word of God, and to give the promises of God. That's the kind of thing that made her a mother in Israel. Not the number of children she had, if any, I don't know. And we still have mothers in Israel. There's a report coming this year to the General Assembly of our denomination on women's ministry. Some of protested about it and said, we don't need another one of those. But I think we do. I think we do, and I've read it. I think it's a very, very good report. I think it could be improved, personally, but I think it's very good. They didn't invite me to be on the committee, or I would have made it much better. Not likely, but anyway. I think it's got room for improvement. It's got room for some amendment, but it's a good report. I would commend it to your reading. You can go to the PCA website, which I'm sure you do all the time anyway, and you know, you can download it. It's about 65 pages or so, but it reads quickly. It doesn't take as long as you would think to read through it. And it's good. It talks about some of these passages in Scripture that deal with women in ministry and women's ministry. It wrestles with questions like the passage you read earlier. You know, in this translation, it talks about deacons and then their wives. And the Scripture's not quite that clear. The word there for wives is just the Greek gune, by which we get gynecology from. It means woman, and it means wife. And you can only tell by context. And so many say, well, it's clear in that context. And many say, it's not so clear in that context. And so there's debate, and they wrestle with it in the paper. But they need to, because we're a denomination that's way out of step with our culture and becoming further out of step with our culture, aren't we? I mean, have you ever mentioned to any friends or relatives who aren't part of the PCA that, by the way, we don't have any women pastors or elders, and see the look they give you? You know, they're like, I thought you were Presbyterian. You're telling me you're Amish? I mean, how backward can you possibly be? And we say, well, we think the Word of God. Yeah, there it is, Amish. Yeah, no, it's a struggle. We're further and further out of step, getting further and further out of step constantly. We don't even know where the culture is. At least maybe you do. I don't. Seeing on Facebook a transgendered woman, someone born a man is now identifying as a woman, is dating another transgendered woman, which means someone else born a man who is now identifying as a woman, and they call themselves lesbians. I need a scorecard. You know, I can't keep up with what our culture is doing. I heard the other day on a radio station, they were talking about the LGBTQA. I don't know what the A means. I meant to look it up, and I keep forgetting. Obviously, it's way high on my agenda, but I don't know. It was like, oh, there's another letter in that alphabet soup. I don't know what that means. Our culture's running in that direction, though. And here we are saying, we're standing on the Word of God, and we hold these principles. But yet, as the report points out, and I think we need to understand, we need to value one another, and we need to encourage the ministry to the fullest extent possible of one another. We need to recognize the importance of each other and the importance of being created in the image of God, male and female, and somehow that reflects the image of God, and that reflects the glory of God. And we need to appreciate that and develop that. Two things about that. First, some of you are probably wondering, because most every Mother's Day I read this particular piece, and I usually do it at prayer time. And I realized I usually do it at prayer time, which means that all those who listen to the recordings, and people do, I don't understand that, but people do, never get to hear this. So I want to put it in here. Amy Young. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make it harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who have aborted children, we remember them and you on this day. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you longed for it to be. To those who step-parent, we walk with you in these complex paths. To those who envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who have emptier nests in the coming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who have placed children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. To those who are pregnant with new life, both expecting and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart. We have real warriors in our midst. We remember you. She wrote another one, too, that I'm not going to read all of, but just this part. She said, we are called to be a people who rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Today our stage is big enough to do both. I love that phrase, too. Our stage is big enough to do both. There are people for whom today is a delightful and wonderful day, and we want to celebrate with you, rejoice with you, and we want to encourage you and encourage that. What a great thing to have intact families, love one another, and celebrate together, that is a great and glorious thing. And we should rejoice with that, and we should encourage that. And how desperately our culture needs to see that. And there are people for whom that's not the reality. That's not what you're dealing with. That's not what you're facing. And you might need encouragement today. You might need a shoulder today. And we need that too. We need to be that. We need to do that. Because that's how we begin to realize our ministry together. So we need strong leadership. And we need gentle, tender love and caring. We need to be fierce in our determination to stand upon the Word of God, and we need to be soft in our being approachable. We need men and women. We need male and female to reflect the glory of God together and be the people of God together. One of the things that I keep meaning to do and for some reason keeps escaping me, and I don't know why, I have some mental block, I keep meaning to put more confession of faith as a part of our worship, because I think it's a glorious thing to come together as the people of God and say, these are things we hold in common. Confession means to say together the same things. So to come together and say, we say these things. And it's good to see that sense of shared belief, shared faith, that we confess these things. We say these things together. We believe these things. But that should never distract us from realizing that each of us believes them in a unique way. Because of our own personalities, because of our own lives, because of our own place in our own lives. Each one of us has a slightly different perspective, a slightly different understanding. And we need that. That's why God called us together in community. It's easier for us to say, you know, I know Jesus and I know all about Jesus. And you say, well, I don't think that at all. I think Jesus is more like this. And we need to hear that. Say, what? And not immediately leap to, well, you're crazy. Or you're wrong. Or maybe you saw something in him that I don't. Maybe you see something in the Word of God that I am completely missing. And it happens. And it's funny, not in funny, ha-ha, might be sometimes, but funny, odd, that the longer that the Lord keeps me in ministry, the more I read, the more I hear, the more I study, the more I preach, the more I come to appreciate how little I know, how much I have to learn, how much more I need to learn how to apply the things that I do know, and how much I need to learn that from others. I can't believe the glaring blind spots that I have. I need people so often to come alongside and say, you know, did you know about so-and-so? No, I didn't. Don't know how I just told Steve Miller. This is a man I've known for years. He's had ALS for like 3 or 4 years now. I never knew about it. I should have been praying for him like we did today. I didn't know, but there are things going on in the congregation that people have to point out to me that I should have seen, that I should have known. There are things that I should be doing that I should know, and I don't. And I thank God for mothers in Israel, because that's often who it is that gently comes alongside of me and says, you know, you need to call this person, or you need to do that. And boy, I need that. And I think we all do. We really need one another. And Mother's Day is a day when we can rejoice with mothers, we can celebrate mothers, but it should remind us that we need to celebrate one another. Because we need the gifts that God has given you. We each need the insights that God has given you. It's Paul's great analogy, you know, about the church being the body of Christ, and we need every part of the body. We need every part to be working, to be functioning, for us really to grow in the grace and knowledge and love of the Lord Jesus. We celebrate mothers. We celebrate mothers in Israel. We celebrate everybody. Because in Christ, there are no little people. There are only saints. I heard on the way here this morning something I had never heard. Bruce Springsteen, of all people, singing "When the Saints Go Marching In." I don't know if he genuinely wants to be a part of that number, but I do. But I hope we all do. And when the saints go marching in, we'll be together as that number, and that will be glorious. But we should be celebrating and realizing that reality today. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for your call upon us to recognize the gifts, the abilities, the special insights, talents that you've given to each saint in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, those who are the most obviously gifted and those who are retiring and quiet and think somehow they were left out, we know that they were not. Help us to help them, to encourage them so that every part is working to the fullest potential that we might show and know and grow in the glory of our Lord Jesus so that we might go out and show others for his sake. And we pray in his name. Amen.